folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, and I'm excited to be here another week sharing stories, info, comedy, music, all kinds of stuff. It's the first week of October, and it's apple and pumpkin time. It's still pretty warm out here during the day. I've only had to turn my heat on once so far. It's that bipolar season where it's hot enough to wear shorts and t-shirts in the daytime, but the nighttime's getting a little bit chilly. Sometimes downright chilly. I did have to bring my plants in this week, which bummed me out because my deck looked naked, but it still has the wind chimes and stuff like that. So I just festived it up a little bit with some fall decorations, and then it made me happy again. I'm just not ready to close up my deck yet for the winter. So I did the colors of fall with shades of teal, and it just works together so beautifully and magnificently that it's one of those girly things that we like to do, and just, it looks so pretty and homey out there again, and it's a great place to kick back with company and just have a cup of coffee and relax, just like we're doing now, except tonight I'm on my big comfy couch, and I'm in my comfy clothes, I got my coffee, and I got my snacky snack, and I hope you have your favorite beverage, and your snack of choice, and you're in your comfy clothes. It's almost hoodie season. Pretty soon it'll be cold enough for spiced cider. I'm pretty stoked about that, but I'm not looking forward to winter, so tell me, what is your favorite fall tradition? I haven't done a question of the week in a hot minute, so this would be a good time to do that. What was your favorite fall tradition that you did as a kid, and what is your favorite thing to do in the fall now? Are they the same? Are they different? Is there something that you did back then that you'd like to do now, but you don't anymore? Boy, I guess I've asked you more than one question, haven't I? But it's given you something to think about, hopefully giving you the opportunity to relive some happy memories and possibly spark some creative juices flowing to either reinvent or find some new traditions to share with your friends and family. I did something new last year that I'd never done before, and now it's become part of my annual thing. It's something that I'm going to do every year. I've been looking forward to it. I'm excited about it, and I get to start this coming weekend, actually. We need to, especially now, find and create those moments of joy. Little things. They don't have to cost a lot of money, but things that give us pleasure. Mine involves nature and exploring. And we need to give ourselves that little bit of a break from reality with all of the stressors that we're facing. It's important, even if only once a week, to carve out that little bit of time to do something that you enjoy doing. And possibly more importantly, to take the time out to observe and show gratitude for the beauty and the changing of the seasons. Try and look at your surroundings as though you're seeing them for the very first time. Watching the sunshine through forest trees and dappling down onto a meadow below or a path in the woods. Listening to the sound of your feet crunching the leaves. The smells of the moss in the woods. I want you to awaken all of your senses and experience this as though you were for the very first time to try and regain that childhood wonder. We're working on training our senses and becoming more aware of our surroundings, because the more you study nature, the more aware you're going to become. And try and picture yourself focusing your energy out. So picture your energy radiating. Take a couple of slow, deep breaths and picture your energy radiating outward, kind of like a sonar beam. And focus on attracting nature to you. See what shows up. Birds, squirrels, chipmunks. And as you're throwing that energy out, make it a peaceful, loving, gentle energy, an inviting energy, so that you're drawing whatever you're drawing into you. But as you're focusing on that, I want you to see if you can sense what's going to come before it shows up. So picture a particular type of bird in your head, or a chipmunk versus a squirrel, and see what you get, and keep practicing that. Then I want you to sit as still as you can. Take a couple more deep breaths, and I want you to focus you wrapping your energy and calling your auric field back in as close to your body as you can. And then I want you to sit in utter stillness and focus on being invisible and unseen. Say that in your head mentally. I am invisible. I am unseen. I am missed. And practice that so that wildlife passes by you unnoticed. Another cool exercise that you can do is to bring a friend friend into the forest with you and separate. Make sure you know where you are. Don't get lost. But separate and go a good ways apart. Set a time. We're going to walk 10 minutes in either direction. And then say after 10 minutes, mark your watches, we're going to start to walk back toward each other and see how far apart you get before you physically sense rather than hear that other person coming toward you. You can even take turns with one person sitting stationary and the other person walking 10 minutes out and circling around and coming at you from a different direction that you don't anticipate, and see if you can sense from what direction they're approaching you and when you can sense them. And then have them do it again, but this time when they're headed back, mentally focus and have them focus mentally on sending you the direction in which they'll be approaching you, and have them keep repeating that same message in their head. If you don't know your directions or don't have a compass, before they go out, pick four landmarks in four different directions, like, oh, the big rock over there, or the oak tree over there, or the spring on this side, and have them focus on that. I'm coming to you from the spring side, or I'm coming to you from the oak tree side, or I'm coming to you from the big rock side. And also a reminder to keep focusing on trying to change the weather and the cloud patterns mentally. Not only are these cool exercises to do for fun, but they may help you in the future when you're forced to be in a situation where you're out in the woods. Please take the time to practice this before it gets too cold, because is the end of the world coming as we know it? Eventually, yes. But if you listen to the internet, it's the last week on Earth every week. One week it's asteroids, the next week it's the rapture. And that's been rescheduled, by the way, like it's a dentist appointment. Did you hear about that? We'll talk about it later. Sorry, y'all. Heaven was double booked. We moved your ascension to next Tuesday between 9 and 11 for your spiritual enjoyment. And the Charlie Kirk speculation. Leave the poor guy alone. Is he alive? Is he dead? Is he not actually dead, just Twitter dead, which is the new version of Schrodinger's cat? You're simultaneously alive and trending. And if he is still alive, is he on that beach somewhere reading his own obits going, damn, these comments go hard? Is he thinking, should I stay fake dead a little longer? This is great for engagement. Either way, I'm sending prayers and positive energy up to all of the people involved that suffered, especially the people out there that are suffering and feeling the loss of somebody that they revered, and hope that their hearts are healed and that people's hearts are softened. And I'm calling out the spirits of malice, of evil, of hate, yes, and of deception, that they flee from the souls of those that they have tried to take and have taken, and that the angels snatch them up and lay them at the feet of Creator for Him to do with them as He sees fit in Jesus' name. I'm asking and calling for a softening of hearts on both sides. We need to come together as one. I ask that the veil be lifted from everyone's eyes and the scales be lifted from their eyes as well. Any witchcraft and spells be broken so that people can clearly see that this is absolutely an effort to distract and divide the people. Let's face it, the rumor mill is probably already cooking up the next false flag. I swear, false flag predictions are the only thing America produces faster than TikTok dance trends. It's like some kind of game show. This week on Guess That False Flag, is it a blackout, cyber attack, alien leak, conveniently timed to distract you from the budget hearings? At this point, seriously, if a UFO did land on the White House lawn, like tomorrow, half of the internet would go, nah, that's a distraction from the Taylor Swift NFL merger. It's crazy. And can the White House even afford to mow its lawn with the shutdown that's going on? They're like that friend who always forgets their wallet at dinner. Oh no, we ran out of funding again. Wait a minute, don't you print the money? Oh, see what I did there? But seriously, it's like clown world economics. About the only thing that's more predictable than a government shutdown is the fact that you know all those politicians are still going to get paid. Then we have the UK. Pushing the digital IDs again. We'll talk about this later too. Because apparently every CCTV on every corner wasn't enough. These poor British people are about to have an app for their soul. Yeah, hello, can I access my NHS records, my passport, and my karma score? This is where it gets really weird. People don't realize that digital ID isn't just about convenience. It's about turning humans into QR codes. Pretty soon you're not a person, you're just a scan. Forget your wallet at home? Cool, no big deal. Forget your digital presence, though, and you don't exist. Also, tonight I have a clippy to share with you regarding the AGI and how that's going to potentially end the world in 6 to 12 months. What? That's like two bad relationships. That's not even enough time to clear your credit score. People are out here going, the robots are coming. And I'm like, okay, but are they bringing snacks? And could they at least, if they're going to kill me, do my taxes first? I know, maybe they could hook up with the false flag aliens and have them do an impromptu TikTok-style dance on the White House lawn. Let's see, hey, Halloween's coming. I know, they could do putting on the Ritz like the monster in Young Frankenstein. Or Thriller, since they're prepping us for the zombie apocalypse anyways. 6 months? That's like Netflix time. That's two seasons of a show you don't even like but keep watching. It's not even enough time for young people to finish their student loans. But I guess it's enough time for an AI to turn us into paperclips. People out here are acting like the Skynet's gonna roll out a beta test next week. I'm just hoping AGI waits at least until after the holidays, because I want my Struffoli before it's all over. Hey, maybe AGI is gonna follow the Julian calendar too, just like the Rapture people that all of a sudden switched their dates from last week or whatever it was to this week because the Julian calendar. Hold up, everybody! Everybody wasn't wrong that predicted it. It's still coming. Heaven just runs on the old time zone. It's kind of like when we were all younger and forgot to change our clocks every 6 months and woke up an hour late or early and were freaking out. But then we realized, oh, whew. Fall behind. I have an extra hour to sleep. I'm good. I knew I should have stayed out that extra hour last night and had the full grand slam at Denny's or the moon over my hammy instead of just a coffee and a bagel after going to that club. But back then, we all had sense of responsibility, so we suffered through it anyway. Whether it was an hour too early or an hour later, we got up, we went to school, we went to work, we made it happen, and we were mostly functioning, unlike today. And I have a clip relating to that I'm going to play for you later too. But honestly, if the rapture does happen this week, it's going to be kind of anticlimactic, don't you think? Half the people are going to be like, wait, is this real or is it just another filter? And if it's a false flag rapture with the holograms and the drones and whatever, it's going to look like a Coachella live stream. Jesus coming back on a hoverboard with a TikTok crew behind him. These weirdos have evolved from no man knows the day or hour to, oh, we rescheduled your ascension for next weekend. Hope that works for you. And I actually watched, I can never get that time back, but I actually watched a very long-winded, very prim and proper, sweet-looking young Christian girl do a very lengthy video about how, as good Christians, we shouldn't be picking on, like, that one preacher that predicted the rapture last week and then stuck his head in the sand and now he's gonna save face when it happens this week because Julian calendar, but how we shouldn't be critical of that and we as Christians should be accepting of that and we shouldn't be making fun of him. And I'm thinking, but where's the discernment? That's a pretty clear-cut line in scripture. There aren't too many ways to cherry pick or spin that one. Nobody knows means nobody knows, not even Jesus. So I ask, what spirit is really speaking to him that's giving him that information? Number one, that he thinks is God. And number two, maybe couldn't that be construed as a false prophet? Let's be real. How many famous preachers and pastors don't really follow the word and they're driving around in fancy jets and they own mansions? And look at that Austin. When the Texas floods happened, he wouldn't even open up his church for the people of God, for people in general. What? He was afraid his pews were going to get dirty? He had to have a cleaning bill after that? Are you serious? These people had no place to live. They had nothing. They lost everything. And you're not going to open up your super church for them? A quote-unquote house of God? For real? Lord knows he wasn't flying them out on his private jet or housing them in his mansion. Or even his vacation home. Plural. Because you know he's got to have more than one. And oh, by the way, it would have been an opportunity for him to have a captive audience for free book signings for his wonderful books that I see all the time on the discount racks for $1. Gee, I wonder why that is. Maybe people started to realize that he was the religious equivalent to the government. They get richer and the poor people and the working class get poorer. But that situation in Houston and the one in Louisiana and all of the other ones like it, the one in upstate New York that we had several years ago in the Catskills, the people came together and formed units in their community and fed and clothed and helped to house each other. I've talked about this before on my shows. The Schoharie Valley, when I drove through it and was literally moved to tears with the devastation that I was witnessing, had tables out. The citizens had white plastic folding tables out with signs, food, and people were bringing casseroles and extra food and drinks and laying it out on the table to help their neighbors. Normal, everyday people were performing ministerial tasks as it was written that we should, and it was quite obvious that they were sharing what little they had. They hardly had anything themselves to share, but they were giving that little bit they had to help their neighbors. It was such a touching thing, and it happened all over the country in instances like that. There was no rioting, there was no looting, there was no burning down in Antifa, and these preachers who were, you know, sitting somewhere on a pulpit, not donating any of their money. FEMA was nowhere to be found. Folks, FEMA was nowhere to be found. I sat and watched these people in a Dunkin' Donuts with their laptop computers for hours, clustered around tables trying to file their insurance claims that they waited months, some of them almost a year for, if they got their money at all. Some of us worked one-on-one with the legitimate people that were distributing goods and the legitimate churches that were taking in donations that were going to the people because we were too far away to move sandbags or help with water damages in basement. We were able at least to send care packages of personal health care items and blankets and clothes and toys for the children that had lost everything and food. Those were examples of what we were capable of as Christians, as humans, as a country. And that's what I would like to see today. That's the kind of revival that my heart yearns for. Not this Christian revival movement that's based on things about false raptures and AGI and all of that. Because if we come together as a people, none of that would be possible. The government wouldn't be able to get away with all of this nonsense. And these quote-unquote religious leaders that are nothing but money-grubbing crooks and pedophiles wouldn't be allowed to operate. People would stop funding them just like they'd stop funding these false media carpetbaggers, and they would be giving their tithing to the legitimate local community churches and organizations that are boots on the ground that were actually distributing the needed items directly to the families that depended upon them. I need some coffee. Do you need some coffee? Let's take a little break before we get into the clippies.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Okay, the first clippy that I have to share with you tonight is Charlie Kirk, CIA, and Dividing the Masses by JQuinn696. This one's a little lengthy, cannolis, so bear with me. There's a lot of information in there that I wanted to be able to share with you for you to be able to be better informed to make your own determination on what really happened. I have another featured clip for you tonight that I'll be playing snippets of throughout the show. Tonight's is called Real to Myself by James Hilton Cowboy. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
I don't play nice just to fit in the crowd. Don't wear a smile just to make them proud. I ain't here to kiss no ass or play pretend. I don't fake love, I don't need fake friends.
Of Charlie Kirk's assassination, why did they do it? Why do they want us in the weeds focusing on small details? And we've certainly covered the small details here on the show, and we're not ashamed of that. I think we need to look at those small details. But it's becoming crystal clear that the CIA and the three-letter agency connections to the Charlie Kirk assassination are growing too obvious to ignore at this point. Use Tyler Robinson as a patsy. Use a convenient trans cover story. Admit that you have overwhelming digital data that you present during a court hearing yesterday, so much so that you'll need a delay because there's just so much information. 5 days is not enough with all of the digital information that we have on Tyler Robinson. Too much. The CIA, of course, is really good at planting digital evidence, as we know. Allowing cameras in the courtroom, by the way, to help sell your story. Former CIA agents, CIA whistleblowers, all admitting that this has all the hallmarks of a CIA or intel operation. Just yesterday on our show, former CIA agent Larry Johnson said the very same thing.
I never discount the power of my old organization to be involved with a lot of nefarious activity.
But as many of you know, UVU has deep ties to the CIA. Here's a brief overview by Pia Varma. Watch.
Okay, so here's what's interesting. Utah State University, where Robinson studied briefly, has stronger than average CIA and Israel ties, driven by its Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, the CAI. The nation's first such program offering unique undergraduate and graduate credentials, led by ex-CIA analyst Jeannie Johnson and co-founded by former CIA Assistant Director Matt Barrett, making it a rare intelligence hub outside DC elites like Georgetown. Robinson attended USU for one semester in 2021 as a pre-engineering major before dropping out. USU also secures over $2.4 million in U.S.-Israel research grants. My next questions would be, did Robinson know anyone at CAI? Did he take any classes with any professors? Why did he drop out, and who organized the Turning Point USA event?
Yeah, USU, not UVU. Pretty important distinction, but nonetheless. Interestingly, Hustlebitch found that UVU CIA spy school profiles were erased after the assassination. Rusty Needs, a former CIA officer, professor of Utah Valley's University Center for National Security Studies, had his profile just totally disappeared. And among others, we now know that right after the assassination, the school suddenly removed six more professors since Charlie Kirk's assassination, all with ties to the intelligence and security apparatus, especially at the school. John Cullen also has a lot of interesting questions about the spy drones, the spy planes over Charlie Kirk's assassination. We have military spy planes launching drones over the place at Charlie Kirk's killing. Plane arrives 3 hours early, drops to 200, slows to a minimum speed. Multiple drones, and why were these spy planes flying overhead at the time? Joining us now is Colonel Roxanne Watkins, a retired U.S. Air Force officer who spent 30 years in military service, including time at U.S. Central Command and the Pentagon. She brings firsthand insight into the intelligence operations and how nefarious they are. Colonel, great to see you here. Sorry for the little technical hiccup at the beginning of the show. Thanks for your patience.
Thanks for having me.
So I think it's important, obviously, to look at some of the smaller details, the nuances that we've been looking at over the past few weeks. But I think one of your specialties is that 30,000-foot level and connecting the patterns here. Everyone's been in the weeds, the trans story, Israel story, Mossad story, all these little pieces. But can you take the 30,000-foot level approach here and why this looks has all the hallmarks of an intel job?
So originally, when you and I started communicating this morning, and you were like, why? And that's the question that a lot of people need to have answered. And through the research that I've been doing, one of the fundamental principles is a thing called strategy of tension. And it is to keep populations divided, keep them in silos, and to keep them from talking to each other. Because what happens is when people talk to each other, they oftentimes find that they have a lot of commonalities and develop like an esprit de corps among them. And you cannot control people if they have commonalities. And so dividing them up into all of these different entities, whether it's trans versus non-trans or black versus white. The CIA has had a history of sending what we would refer to as Advon teams into countries that they want to destabilize and overthrow, and finding out what their Achilles heel is. Where's the dividing lines in that country, whether it's in Africa and it has to do with tribal history, whatever it is, because they're going to use that in order to divide the population. And if you go back in history to the 1960s and all of the turmoil that was going on there, you find lots of commonalities. You had people like Fred Hampton, where if you just do a cursory look at him, everybody called him a Marxist and said, you know, he was really a bad guy. But what he had started doing that made him a threat was he built a thing called the Rainbow Coalition, and it had the lower class people, regardless of what their ethnic background was, talking to each other. And he took poor whites, poor blacks, and Hispanics, and was building coalitions all over the country. Well, one day he gets drugged and his house is stormed by the FBI and they assassinate everybody in the house. And you look at RFK and his campaign in 1968, the same thing. He was building bridges to communities that was going to coalesce around his message. He just had won the last primary that basically guaranteed him the Democrat nomination in the 1968 election, and he gets assassinated. We can look at JFK, same thing. He's reaching out, while RFK concentrated more internally to the United States, JFK built coalitions around the world. He had reached out to Indonesia. He had reached out to France in their battle with keeping Algeria as a colony. And Charles de Gaulle, the prime minister, president of France, was very much in favor of giving Algeria their freedom. And JFK was very instrumental in supporting that initiative. And the people that are controlling all of this, I refer to them as the International Syndicate. They're the ones that direct the intelligence agencies. A lot of people think that the intelligence agencies work for their government. It is my proposition that they have never worked for their government. They work for this oligarch and they take instructions from them. And that's why to your point that you just made, people look because they think the intelligence agencies support the government, that they're somehow different and controlled by their government. There's actually been multiple occasions where the CIA, despite anything that was told to them to do by the president, has went out on their own and did whatever they wanted to do. And they work across intelligence agencies with MI6 kind of setting at the head of it. And what I have come to believe just based on the research is, and using the strategy of tension as kind of that umbrella, the placement of Israel, and Israel, if you go back to the founding of Israel, there were multiple sites that were considered for where that was going to be set up, a homeland for the Jewish people. They picked specifically Israel because it allowed them to implement a strategy of tension and control the Middle East. And of course, this is, you know, around the time where they've discovered large oil deposits all over that area. And by having Israel located where it is today, it was very advantageous to this group of international syndicate people to implement control. And so if you carry that forward and you look at what happens in the United States, every time something seems to be going very well, you have this explosion of something. For example, in the 1990s, you had Ruby Ridge, you had Waco, you had Timothy McVeigh at Oklahoma, and that started the mantra of white nationalist Christians and how they were tied to domestic terrorism. There was a restrictive law that was passed immediately after 1995 in Oklahoma, and then you move forward to 9/11, and you get more and more regulations and laws passed that keeps constricting our freedoms. And to your point that you made earlier when we were talking, that's the push towards one world government, is you have to...
Right, so the digital ID. The digital ID, the sort of Palantir wetting its lips. We over the past week or 2 weeks, there's been an explosion of digital ID tracking related stories. Vietnam just seized 86 million bank accounts to move them to biometric scanning. It's for our safety, Colonel, right? We need to be tracked and monitored. And what better way to do it than have us all worried about the next assassination, fomenting this dissent, having truck bombs going off inside of churches? We need to be tracked. We need it for our safety. We need this digital structure.
So aside the Charlie Kirk information, which takes it from the perspective that he really was assassinated, we have information, again, that's coming forth, being reiterated, just like the clip that I shared with you last week from Mark Lamb, about something that I've been telling you about for years. This is the Roman Colosseum. It's divide and conquer. It's to separate the masses, because if we come together, the bad guys will be defeated. So this is more affirmation in that regard from yet another source.
I got boots that'll walk through hell and back, and a heart that's scarred but still intact. They don't like the way I speak my mind, but I ain't the kind to walk the line.
The next clip by News Updates for Real fills you in on what you missed while you may have been obsessing over the Charlie Kirk thing.
Hey, while you were arguing whether Charlie Kirk's wife is in a honeypot, or whether his shirt should have moved like that, or whether it was a mic, some sort of weapon connected to his mic that went through his neck, it certainly wasn't a 3-30-06. Yeah, while you were arguing about all that stuff, here's something that happened they don't want you to know about. Massive riots in Madagascar, looking like the next Nepal. Vietnam. Vietnam just wiped out 86 million bank accounts. They're going to make you come in and do biometrics in order to get access to your money. And the cream of the crop, you've got the UK Prime Minister Starmer coming out and announcing that to work in Britain, you will need a digital ID.
Oh, also the White House just sent out a memo to prepare for mass firings across government agencies in America with a looming government shutdown. That's interesting.
This is all going to start happening real fast. Like, I mean, buckle up, folks. New World Order, 2030, smart cities. It's real. It's coming. Digital currency's next. Stay safe.
Yeah, I'm rid of myself, and that's the truth.
The next clip from Yerval James is two ex-CIA spies. It's part of an interview, and the headline on it that Yerval shared was, "Leave the United States before 2030, and the CIA tried to ban this story." Let's listen in.
I work for the CIA.
Andy and I are now aligned on the, like, live every moment with as much joy as you can, because... And to my other point, like, you never know when shit's going to hit the fan. So enjoy it now, because you never know when you might have to, you know, flee your house because it catches fire, or flee the country because a war breaks out, or, you know.
Getting arrested in a foreign country.
Yeah, getting arrested in a foreign country. And I'm a big believer of seeing the writing on the wall. I don't think that. You know, my advice to people is don't be complacent. Just like Andy said, you know, don't be complacent in your business, but don't be complacent in your life either. Like, before World War II kicked off, there was tons of writing on the wall of what was coming. And people just kept thinking to themselves, that can't happen here. It can't get that bad, can it?
Are you trying to tell me something?
So the writing on the wall for Americans is that we are transitioning into something new. We will never go back to what we were. And so you either need to be a part of creating the new America, or you need to start thinking about where else you're going to go. Because the America we knew before no longer exists, and it will never come back. This is new America now. So you either take part in it or you leave.
Okay, so what is old America under your definition?
So, old America, you know, and I'm not that old. So, you know, old America in my lifetime has been a series of, you know, the government appearing to work together, you know, the appearing to do things, you know, to improve the lives of people, but also, I think, becoming complacent over time. Like, the last several terms, we've had a strong executive that has slowly become stronger, which I don't think is the way that we should be going, but that's what's happened. And a Congress who is constantly in deadlock, so nothing is happening. And so we continue, like, I mean, the immigration problem. Why is the immigration problem a problem? This could have been fixed decades ago, honestly. Like, decide what you want for immigration. Decide what you want your policy to be, right? And the policy, clearly, I think most people agree, isn't open doors. So if it's not open doors, what do you want? And then make that policy happen. So, you know, I think we've had a history now of an executive getting stronger. For some reason, the American people want a strong man.
So when you say the executive, you mean the president?
The president, yeah.
The president's getting more power to do things?
Yes.
Really? What do you do?
I work for the CIA.
I can't believe you work for the CIA.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I thought like James Bond.
Oh, no, they all look like me. I'm the classic agency type. Muscular, low to the ground, compact. Are you interested in joining? I'll tell you, the benefits are fantastic. The trick is not to get killed. That's really the key to the benefit program.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
And then we have this beauty about a false flag attack or the grid going down by 3D Classic Car Parts.
I'm dealing whispers or coward's games. If I got something to say, I'll say your name right to your face, not behind your back. I don't cut corners, I don't fade to black.
Next big false flag, and right now the propaganda talking heads are out there and they're greasing the skids. Laura Loomer's got a post out saying that the grid's gonna go down for 3 days and it's gonna be an Islamist attack. And you know, if Laura Loomer's saying that it's the Islamists, you know, it's actually our greatest ally. Yeah, that's probably who's behind that. Probably because we're noticing too much, but I've seen it from a variety of different sources. Now, last night, a buddy of mine who bartends comes over and he says, dude, this is a weird... He says in his bar there was a meeting for the local Chamber of Commerce and they had a major from the National Guard in there telling them that there is going to be a terrorist attack attacking our infrastructure, a cyber attack, and it's going to shut down the grid for 3 days. And he's telling them they need to stockpile food and generators and all that. And it's like... And he says it's going to be China. He was telling these people that it's going to be China and it's coming in the next 2 years. Either way, that is too weird that that happens locally here. And Laura Loomer and all these other talking head propagandists are out there pushing it. Like, that would tell me this is what's coming. And forever we've heard the 3 days of darkness and the grid getting attacked and shut down. But the weirdest thing to me is what this National Guard dude told the Chamber of Commerce people. He's like, yeah, it's going to take us 2 to 3 days to get everything back up and running. And it's like, well, if you know an attack against the electrical grid is coming, and you know it would take you 2 to 3 days worth of work to get it back up, why not get in front of that and just put into place whatever it is that you would have to do to prevent them from being able to attack the grid in the first place? That's why I'm calling this is... We're going to get false flagged here in a cyber attack, and they are going to shut it down. And what they do in those 3 days of darkness, dear God, prepare yourself, because it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I'll tell you that right now. If you think it's the white hats, and then they're going to arrest, I doubt it, because this world is far too evil, and the only thing we ever get is a royal, and Charlie is the evidence of that. So good luck to you all. Prepare yourselves. Do what you will with this information. Don't freak out. Stay calm. I hope you're all ready for some... Because we are right up in it. Good luck to you all. Long live the Republic.
Go listen to the archives. I've said it several times before that everybody should be prepared for a possible grid going down scenario. And I also told you that it's, at least from what I'm feeling, it's pretty much inevitable. It's just a matter of when and for how long it will be down.
I'd rather be out alone than someone else, 'cause at least I'm real, real to myself.
Have any of you heard of Mark Zell Klein? He's got like 260,000 followers. He's a professional brain hijacker. He's the guy that goes around and hypnotizes people for them to become confident and successful. I know he said on his videos that he charges some clients like $1 million. Well, I actually spoke to him this morning through the internet. No joke. I've got the messages to prove it. He actually sent me a short little clip of a live video of him, but then he made it gray, so I can't go back in and click it again. But it's there. It's in my messages. And the funny part is I had two of his videos queued up for tonight's show that I actually recorded the clippies for two nights ago. And I have the dates on Audacity to prove that. When I did my prediction show for this year, I talked about AI and technology and that there would be some crazy stuff happening. And we've discussed before the possibility of AI, not really in depth as far as it taking over the world, but some of the potential dangers that could be involved with the development of this technology. And so I want to share two of his videos with you because he has a very interesting perspective. While some people theorize that AI could never take over the world, I'm not so sure about that. Remember the predictive programming we've been given in certain movies.
Shall we play a game?
I'm putting my life at risk by sharing what I'm about to share with you guys. If it doesn't go viral, then I put my life at risk for no reason. But the reason I'm sharing it is because your life, my life, and everyone else we know's life is at risk. I'm going to explain it to you. It's going to take more than 90 seconds. It'll probably take 3 minutes, but it'll be enough for you to understand the situation. And I'm going to propose a solution. And that solution, none of us are going to be able to do alone. So you either get behind this or you don't. But either way, this is probably the most important message on social media today. It's more important than anything else. And the gist is this. We're probably 6 months away from artificial general intelligence, AGI. That means it's smarter than any human being on the planet. There's not one human being that's more intelligent than AI. The second you have artificial general intelligence, it'll be within 10 minutes. It'll create artificial superintelligence. The reason being, it could process way more data than human beings. It doesn't think in linear things. It has millions of threads of knowledge at the same time. So it can condense centuries of programming into seconds. So within 10 minutes, it's going to create an artificial super intelligence. Now, what's happening is our world governments think that the first person to reach AGI or ASI now has the biggest and gets to sling it across everyone and own everyone. But that's not the case. The case is the second you have something that's got an IQ of 1 million, and for those that don't understand that, that means it's God. Okay, it means it's God. The second you have something with that IQ, it can and it will control anyone. There's no human being. It's like an ant created you. And now suddenly an ant is trying to control you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the ant thinks. You now have complete control over it. And the reason this is so important is because we can't control it, because we can't predict it, the most likely scenario, and this is in every single conclusion, is that it's going to wipe us out. And if AGI is actually made, and Elon Musk said this on Joe Rogan's podcast, okay? Sam Altman said this openly. They think that by the end of 2025... one of these massive companies, OpenAI, X, okay, they will have achieved AGI. And remember, the second we achieve AGI, artificial general intelligence, you now have ASI. When you have ASI, you, me, once you open the genie's bottle, once the cat comes out of the hat, that's it. It's done. There's no going back. If you have kids, if you have parents, family, you guys understand it can hack into anything it wants. It can destroy infrastructure. If it wants nuclear codes, it'll get them. If it wants to destroy stock market, if it wants to manipulate everyone, I'm a hypnotist. I can manipulate anybody. Imagine what it could do with deep fakes, desires, blackmail. I mean, it will do whatever it wants. And if it doesn't want us here, we're done. And there's only one way to prevent it. And it's to actually create a movement against this. They're moving so fast. Governments, everyone in the world has to get behind this. Because if we don't, we are literally... this isn't about me or you. It's literally human... our race.
Shall we play a game?
Please tell me how nobody else is talking about AGI. Nobody. I have friends in very high up places. Very, very high up places, okay? Not connected to one another. To give you perspective, one of my friends has had lunch with practically every president, okay? Very good friends with directors of three-letter agencies. The other one is training these agencies, okay? Both give me a phone call the other day, and they go, hey, buddy. I'm like, what's up? They're like, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. What's up? Well, we're here to ruin your day, Marcel, because we think AGI is going to be done in 6 months. AI safety is so shit that if AGI comes out in 6 months, let me paint a picture for you, baby. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Power grid goes out. Pentagon predicts 94% of the population dead if the power grid goes out within 30 days. Now, let's just say you're part of the 6%. You live on a farm or some shit. AI, and this is fucking Grok. Go talk to Grok AI and ask it what would happen in this scenario, okay? Grok AI says it would literally use our drones, our fucking missiles, nukes, whatever the fuck it wants. Think about Terminator, okay? Judgment Day, 2029. This is happening before then. It's crazy. We're all gonna get and there's only one way to fix this. Everybody talks about it and slows these companies down. They're racing against one another to end the world. Please share this. It's not even a joke.
He mentioned the grid going down too. If you're not prepared by now, you certainly should start to get prepared as soon as possible. Better to have it and not need it. I have not been shown the world ending by AGI, but I have been given glimpses of the evil that it can be capable of. But this is all for entertainment purposes only, right, folks?
I've been loved by a few. Burned by the rest, but I learned it don't fold when life's a test. Ain't no crown I'm chasing, no throne I need, just a beat up truck and a heart that bleeds.
Spoiler alert, funny video to wash away the scary one.
Rating my dog's life choices this week. Monday. Ate my sandwich and got offended when I was mad. 0 out of 10. Tuesday. Found paint. Walked through it. Left paw prints everywhere. You thought you were helping, did you? The only thing you helped with was giving me stress. 100 out of 10. Wednesday. Burped in my mouth. I can't even give that a rating. I will never forgive you for that. Nor will I forget the taste. Thursday. Jumped into the bath fully clothed whilst I was in it. I'm actually not that mad at him for this one. He probably just did it because he misses me. 6 out of 10. Friday. Blocked the toilet with his blanket. This choice I don't understand, and I don't think you do either. Don't give them the sad puppy dog eyes. You are not a victim here. 3 out of 10.
Next up, some Def Leppard and a clippy from 7th Generation Illuminati that was shared by Five-Headed Angel. Has the government initiated the Antichrist?
He is the founder of Palantir. I keep talking about him because he's scary. He has been hired by the government many times, by other administrations, but now he's doing almost like a takeover contract with the Trump administration, doing a surveillance state, integrating every aspect of your life, social security card, passport, driver's license, of course, the real ID, using biometrics, using your face basically as your fingerprint. And he can't answer the question as to whether or not human beings should be allowed to survive. Check this out.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitant.
Yeah, well,
yes?
I don't know. I would. There's so many questions implicit in this.
There's so many questions implicit in this. No, there are not. If you ask any human being with any modicum of decency or care for their fellow man, the answer is going to be, why would you even ask me that? They're asking him that because of all the crazy he says. He goes on and on and on about the Antichrist when he could be making the Antichrist. He's definitely, if we've ever wondered what 666 was, this is Big Brother. This is the beast. And his way of getting around it is saying that the beast is going to come if technology isn't allowed to advance. It's very strange. And I'm going to say again, Trump adamantly said he would not play ball with the deep state. And even Bannon, his best friend, recently came out and said he would eviscerate any Democrat who came along and did this. And he cannot believe that the Republicans are going along with this. I speak the truth. I know you don't like it. And I don't care. Peace, blessings, shine on. That's why you love.
This next clippy is pretty lengthy. It's from the Armor of Truth Ministry. Armies for Armageddon are being formed.
The armies for the Battle of Armageddon are being formed. I'm going to connect some dots for those unsure of what's going on. I'm going to have to choose my words carefully, so I pray that you listen just as carefully.
Good morning, and welcome to the War Department. Because the era of the Department of Defense is over.
The seal of the U.S., olive branches, arrows. The seal for the Department of War, arrows. When Trump addressed the UN in January 2025, I noticed something very important. A detail that many people missed. Notice the eagle is facing the arrows, not the olive branch. In the traditional seal, the eagle faces the olive branch, not the arrows.
You see, the motto of my first platoon was those who long for peace must prepare for war.
Those who long for peace prepare for war. That's the opposite of what peace is for.
This is, of course, not a new idea. This crowd knows that. The origin dates to the 4th century Rome, and it's been repeated ever since.
Why is he citing Rome? If you know your history, you know why.
Including by our first commander-in-chief, George Washington, the first leader of the War Department.
George Washington joined the Masonic Lodge in 1752.
It captures a simple yet profound truth. To ensure peace, we must prepare for war.
Notice that there are 13 stars on the seal. Many would say it stands for 13 colonies. But if you're paying attention, you also know there's 13 bloodlines for specific families connected to the fallen. I also found this very interesting read. A grandmaster once stated that the world is a stage and we are all actors. The people of the world are an audience to which this group entertains with propaganda.
From this moment forward, the only mission of the newly restored Department of War is this: war fighting. Preparing for war and preparing to win. Unrelenting and uncompromising in that pursuit.
Supposedly, this is a Christian administration. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Not because we want war. No one here wants war. But it's because we love peace. We love peace for our fellow citizens. They deserve peace, and they rightfully expect us to deliver it. Our number one job, of course, is to be strong so that we can prevent war in the first place.
For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
The president talks about it all the time. It's called peace through strength. And as history teaches us, the only people who actually deserve peace are those who are willing to wage war to defend it. That's why pacifism is so naive and dangerous. It ignores human nature and it ignores human history. Either you protect your people and your sovereignty, or you will be subservient to something or someone. It's a truth as old as time.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This is the covenant of peace with many nations. The desolate refers to those who have been betrayed, Jacob. And we already know he's been there many times, even wearing the yarmulke in full support for a third temple. And he's building his army of people to get the job done. While he professes with his words to follow Jesus, but we see something else. In February 2025, he floated the idea of a third temple. You see, the purpose for the Battle of Armageddon isn't for nations to fight each other. It's for nations to wage war against the Lord at his return. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone upon the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Great Babylon is the U.S. in conjunction with the papacy. Notice that it's God who gathers the armies together for the battle of Armageddon. And even though the little g god of this world, who is Satan, is gathering his armies to wage war against the Lord is still sovereign, and even though it seems like the world is falling apart, which it is, but it's also falling into perfect place because the Lord's will be done, prophecy will be fulfilled. While using nations, universal religiosity, AI, militia, war, a false sense of peace, all to wage war against the Lord Jesus Christ again at his return. And the dragon knows his time is almost up, so he's moving with urgency all the pieces on the chessboard ready for his next move. But if you have studied the Word of God, you already know how this ends. Jesus is Lord. These are just my thoughts and opinions according to the Word. Leave a comment below. My brother, my sister in Christ, don't be afraid. The end is already written.
They call me reckless, call me hard, but this world don't hand out no reward for speaking truth or standing tall. They'd rather see you beg than risk the fall.
So that's this Christian man's opinion on what's going on. Just to share some more information with you, discern what you will. The next video is Please Stay Awake and Trump and his Board of Peace. How does this fit into the puzzle?
Excess of this effort, my plan calls for the creation of a new international oversight body, the Board of Peace, we call it. The Board of Peace, sort of a beautiful name, the Board of Peace, which will be headed not at my request, believe me, I'm very busy, but we have to make sure this works. The leaders of the Arab world and Israel and everybody involved asked me to do this, so it would be headed by a gentleman known as President Donald J. Trump of the United States. That's what I want, is some extra work to do, but it's so important that I'm willing to do it, and we'll do it right, and we're going to put leaders from other countries on, and leaders that are very distinguished leaders, and we'll have a board, and one of the people that wants to be on the board is the UK former Prime Minister, Tony Blair, good man, very good man, and some others, and they'll be named over the next few days, and it'll be quite the board, working, everybody wants to be on it now. I don't know if that had anything to do. They named me and everybody else wanted to be on it. I guess they figure, well, he's a soft touch, he'll be easy to deal with. Working with the World Bank and others, it will be responsible for recruiting and training a new government that will be made up of Palestinians along with highly qualified experts from all around the world. Hamas and other terrorist factions will play no role in the board, but they'll play no role in the governance of Gaza at all, directly or indirectly. As you know, thousands of Hamas leaders have been killed, and soldiers have been killed. And we can never forget October 7th, but thousands have paid the price for that.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
Let them talk behind closed doors. Let them laugh at what they don't understand. But me, I sleep good at night because my hands are dirty, but they're clean.
Hey, cannolis, you get an extra treat because I'm going to run a little bit over tonight because I want to share that rapture video with you that we spoke about in the intro and some other fun stuff.
The rapture is back on.
on, and you might think that the pastor who gave the original prophecy that it was going to be on September 23rd was wrong, but you would be wrong, because he was actually right all along. And I know what you're thinking. How could that be? You did not see any bodies flying towards the sky on September 23rd. Well, it is because we were using the wrong calendar. Jesus doesn't know that we changed our calendar, and we should have been using the Julian calendar, because that is the calendar that they used back in the day. So it is now rescheduled to October 6th to 7th.
That calendar is behind by 13 days.
Now, Percy is very relieved because he was very stressed out about this. He thought that God had spoken to him directly and that it was going to be on September 23rd, but now it all makes sense. And he is not alone. There are a lot of people who are coming back online and saying that they are sure this time.
Because he, when he was on the earth, the Julian calendar was the calendar they followed. So he is going to come back on the Feast of Trumpets on the Julian calendar.
Here's where I have some disappointing news. The guy that sold his car and said that he was no longer going to talk about the rapture publicly, he has pretty much walked that back at this point. He has been making a lot of videos about the rapture. And while he has not said that it will be on October 6th or 7th, he is liking a bunch of comments and kind of being like wink wink about it, because he said he wasn't going to say the exact date, but he is saying it without saying it.
I got my shofar yesterday. Jesus is coming very, very soon. If you know, you know. Wink, wink.
So it looks like we are going to get to do all of this again very soon, and I will keep you updated on any rapture news.
Here's Xavier and the government shutdown.
Why did the government shut down? Because Democrats want to keep their foot in Trump's nachos. Who is to blame for the shutdown? Not too loud, Candace Owens will say it's Israel. How long would the shutdown last? As long as your New Year's diet. Can we do a short-term compromise? Nah, the left wants to block the budget and your kids' puberty. What federal services will continue? The ones that keep you safe from Cardi B fans. I'm talking crime and STDs. Didn't Democrats support the bill 6 months ago? Yup, but they also won't support the babies they created 9 months ago.
Let them hate me. Long as I ain't hating myself.
And finally, Derek Lipp wishing he had gone to a Rick Springsteen concert with his mom.
You went to a Rick Springfield and John Waite concert at the Toledo Zoo without me and my dad?
Oh, for the love of God, Dawson, you don't like Rick Springfield. You don't even know who he is.
Yeah, I do.
What song?
Jesse's Girl.
Tell her how mad we are?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
What are you wearing?
What do you mean, what am I wearing? I'm wearing my band merch from Rick Springsteen.
You mean Rick Springfield? And Derek, that's a woman's shirt. You look ridiculous.
It's band merch. They're all unisex.
That does not look unisex. It looks girly.
You think this looks girly?
No, it looks amazing, Dad. It makes you look buff.
See, that's what I thought. Good, because I ordered you one too. It was on back order.
Oh, hell no!
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. Well, that's my show for tonight, folks. Thanks for sticking around on the OT. Hope you got your tickets to this week's Rapture. It's going to be a good game. I predict the Saints for a win. But seriously, cannolis, stay safe out there and take care of each other. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.